Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
And it's the 10 o'clock hour, our open home hour. Whenever you, the Arizona homeowner, want to talk about your home, castle, or cabin, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When the auto attendant answers, just hit number one. It'll bypass the message, get you right into the studio. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, and you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need to snap a picture to describe the project you're looking on, working on. You can send that to info@rosieonthehouse.com. A little follow-up from last week. We started this 10 o'clock hour with a little rant on review services and why we use the Guild Quality because of how they verify this contractor did work on this home, and then they do have an open comment and review form, but you're also measured. How is the cleanliness? How is the time? How is the scheduling? It's the standard in customer surveys and reviews. Well, just this week, I'm going to read this email I received, a solicitation. Hello, do you want to push down some negative reviews on Google, Yelp, Facebook, and other sites, or do you want more reviews for your business? If yes, we can bring amazing five-star reviews to your business in any platform you want. We're a group of freelancers providing five-star reviews to boost reputation in the market and push down negative reviews with quality reviews. If you're interested, please let me know how many reviews you want and where you want them published, and I'll provide you a customized package to get it done.
What the heck? I didn't even know people thought like that.
That's why we use the Guild Quality. There's no way a fake review can get on there, and there's no way you can pay to have a negative review removed. It's consistent quality feedback, and we can't touch it. So all of our and they're all still five star.
It's the gold standard of referral services, and it's an integral part of Rosie on the House. I got an email this week. We were talking a couple weeks ago with Dr. David Dean about the White House and what the 4th of July isn't and what the 4th of July is. So Bill writes from Marana, and he says, listen, in our season of staying at home here, I've got a couple books I want to recommend to you. The Hidden White House by Robert Clara. It recounts from the beginning how the White House was built, burned, and rebuilt over the decades. It's rebuilding in the 1950s when it was about ready to fall apart. It was completely rebuilt in the 50s. It's told in detail along with some interesting photos of some. So I'm going to have to get a copy of that book. And the second he recommended was Washington Burning by Les Standiford, which tells how our Capitol site was selected, the streets were laid out, and the location of how many of its buildings were planned. So, well, I appreciate emails like this. I love reading. I've caught up on a little reading, spending a little bit more time at home. I found a cousin I never even knew I had, a race jockey, who's actually in the Jockey Hall of Fame, Randy Romero. I never even heard of him.
I have. Oh, man, he is world famous. Well, in Louisiana, for sure.
Two Romeros in the late 1600s left Malaga, Spain, two brothers. Well, I'm a descendant of one of those brothers, and Randy's a descendant of the other brother.
I'll be.
So we're like fifth or sixth cousins. I don't know what that means, but I never even knew we were related. I never knew him growing up, and we're about the same age, and he recently just passed away.
And I was living in my hometown of Lafayette at the time, and Randy's name was all over the news.
4,800 wins.
Isn't that something?
Lifetime earnings of over $75 million. I wish I'd have known that, cousin.
The late to the game.
I never even knew him.
You would have placed some bets, huh?
but I read his biography, Remarkable Ride. And it was more about horse racing than it was about Randy. But it was an interesting story, a very, very interesting life he led.
You've become obsessed. Since we're taking turns talking about contacts with listeners, I did get a call earlier today, just a gentleman encouraging. His background is he He's an elderly gentleman who's retired, and he goes around with the Volunteers of Scottsdale and helps with elderly people who get, you know how you get code violations for like your weeds or whatever?
Yeah, sure.
Or your paint's peeling, so whatever. So he goes around and helps elderly people who can't repair those themselves. But with COVID, they've tried to shut down the volunteers. So, you know, they've shut down their program. So, you know, he was just encouraging, if you have a neighbor, you know, you just take care of your neighbors, check in on them, see what you can do to help.
Great.
Especially with the elderly. I'm really concerned about those who are alone for, this is 5 months now. You know, so take care of your people.
Very good. Very good neighborly encouragement.
Dave's a subscriber to our email newsletter and saw our article this week was on modular manufactured home in our 10 o'clock hour. And he wrote in and said, had a central modular home in Central Florida, double wide, lived there 16 years and survived the double whammy of the 04 hurricane season. So what I found that really helped me through it was the book, The Modular Home by Andrew Giannino, G-I-A-N-I-N-O, and it was a superior guide to help live in and use the home. So we're going to have to get a cover of that. I looked him up a little bit, and he is a manufacturer home builder in the Northeast. So I don't know how much, I can't imagine that would change too much from East Coast to West Coast and that type of housing platform. We'll have to get a copy of that. So I appreciate the tip.
I'm a little embarrassed how naive I am about manufactured homes. I just, like, I worked in that factory just for a real short little time until Chrome Dome called and said, hey, we got a spot for you on the framing crew. Come on over. And then I was working with the Hicks family in Welch. But very, very little experience. And until recently, they were built so different that you almost had to be a specialty guy to know how to work on them. But they've gotten to the point now, they're almost using all the same components we use on site-built homes. So it's coming around.
On social media this week, yesterday, our article that went out on KTAR, and then they posted it on Twitter, got as much response as we've gotten on any single one article, and it's on the Palo Verde bark beetles.
Ugly.
That
ugly.
They come out. We spent a little bit of time last week talking trees with John Eisenhower of Save a Tree about, you know, this is the time of year they come out and what to do with them. And luckily, they're not, they don't have stingers, but they do have pretty good pinchers up front. He said something like they won't snap the pencil.
Yeah, they're strong enough to break a small pencil. So if you look on our blog, I'll throw it up on Facebook too. He sent me a little picture of how you hold them. He said if you're adventuresome, I don't know who wants to pick one up. Apparently John likes picking them up. But you pick them up behind their front leg so that the pinchers are kind of like a crawfish. You know, you just hold it away from you. But they don't come after you.
I'm not eating a bark beetle.
Do you know that
eat a crawfish.
Do you know when they, so the life cycle, they lay their eggs in the holes, right? If it's the closer it is to your tree trunk, the more damage they can do. Because what they do is the larva feeds on the roots, and they live down there like 3 years. And then when they reach adulthood, they come out and they try to fly, and they're really bad at it. They mostly crawl, but if you ever seen one fly at you, they'll fly in your hair or whatever. They're not trying to get you; they're just clumsy. And but
they're like the B-52s. Of insects.
And do you know what? They do not eat. Once they're adults, they don't eat. They just come out, and then they mate, and they die. So that's the exciting life of a Palo Verde beetle.
And what did Steve Price say when he was in studio last week?
Prehistoric
about
alien or something.
There was a Palo Verde that had been rolled over, and the root ball was exposed, and all the larva of the beetle was hanging on there. It was the ugliest... The ugliest alien he'd ever seen or something. What was his comment?
Yeah, ugliest alien thing he's ever seen. That's exactly it.
And people ask, you know, can you treat them? And the best thing you can do for your Palo Verde trees, and they will infest other trees as well, ironwood, a couple others, any broadleaf trees, but is just keep your tree healthy. Because when a tree is unhealthy, it's more susceptible to damage. If you have a healthy tree, you might have them and might not even know it. So if you have bad infestation, though, they will... you can give Eisenhower, Save a Tree a call, and they will treat it and see what they can do.
So, Romy, that that article hit big on the social network.
The reactions to it were pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
And then it's posted on KTAR's site as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, why is this a news story? Like, well, you know, it's content because we're on the weekend programming with Dave.
It's the reaction to the new folks people, that move into town.
People are funny.
It. Yeah, yeah. The first time they see it.
Oh, man.
A flying roach.
Sherry wrote in with an interesting problem. She had previewed a home in April, and now living in it as of May 2nd, she did not realize how loud the house was. You know, it's particularly the air conditioners running all the time, and cannot stand the intense sound. And she was looking for an acoustical engineer.
And I'm looking for one for her. She and I actually exchanged emails a couple times. I gave her kind of a long list of things she could consider. It's the neighbor's air conditioning unit that's bothering her. So there's ways you can strategically plant some vegetation, dense vegetation, on your side of the property line. There's the magnetite windows that you can install. We've got those in some of our recording studios. They work very well to kill the acoustic.
And she could
and
double up.
And they're affordable. Up. Yeah, and they're very affordable. So that's a very easy way to go. But the one thing she's not going to be able to solve, she's under the flight pattern of
Sky Harbor. Falcon?
No.
Luke Air Force.
Thank you. Gosh, man. So she's under the flight pattern of the fighter jets. And I said, honey, there is nothing you can do to your house to silence a fighter jet.
They're fun to watch, though.
Yes, they are.
They don't fly on Sundays. That's they give you Sunday off, but they're pretty active on Mondays. And from our house, we're near the auxiliary field, so they do touch and goes. They don't ever hit the ground, but you know they come about 100 feet up off, and then they go back up. And generally, it's just real slow, gradual, and you get a look. But man, every now and then.
You got a hot shot.
I mean, you just shoot straight up in the sky like a rocket. That's pretty cool.
Yes.